Okay, we just read Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and by way of introduction, like I said, we're not going to stay here in Galatians, but I want you to notice in the first part here, it says that Paul is an apostle. That's one that has been sent, commissioned, and sent forth by God, and in this context, he's one of the original apostles that was given the authoritative word of God. There's not any more apostles like these guys, okay? There's not anybody that's given the authoritative word of God to add to it. Paul was an apostle. He's one of the original. But he was not one of the original disciples. He was called later. And as we go through this book of Galatians, we're going to go back and look at his conversion in one of the coming weeks. But we're not going to look at that today. We're going to introduce Galatians by going back to Acts, because what Paul says here, first of all, before you turn there, what Paul says here is that he's an apostle and that his apostleship was not by men nor through man, but it came through the Lord Jesus Christ, God and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. You say, well, what's he talking about? And then you say, what's he talking about? You also have to ask, well, why is he writing to the Galatians? Well, in order to discover that, now, you're going to have to bear with me this week. This week is really a foundational week, okay? We're going to be laying some groundwork for the rest of the book of Galatians. And in order to do that, we're going to go back to the book of Acts. So if you would flip with me back to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. This is after Paul has been converted. Like I said, we will look at that in coming weeks. What we're going to see today is how Paul was called and sent out as a missionary, an apostle, to the Gentiles. And it all begins, really, in Acts chapter 11. It begins with a church that was started in a place called Antioch. Now, another point to notice, whenever you see in your Bible the church that's in Antioch is talking about a church that's north of Jerusalem, all the way north of Israel, north of Tyre and Sidon. It's the church that is in Antioch in what is present-day Syria. Okay? You know where Syria is. You've heard about it in the news. Okay? So it's the church that's in Antioch that's in Syria. Now, Paul's going to go from there, and eventually he's going to visit another church that's called, he founds another church with Barnabas in a place in Galatia, but it's called Antioch in Pisidia. That one's always called Antioch in Pisidia because it's always a smaller church. But the larger one, and the one that we're concerned with this morning, to answer the question, how was Paul sent out? Why is he writing to the Galatians? Is we're concerned with this church that's Antioch, and it's in Syria. All right, look with me in Acts chapter 11, verse 19. I hope you're there. It's probably up on the screen, too, if you need to follow along. It says, now, those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, that's an island out in the middle of the Mediterranean, and Antioch, there it is, we encounter it right there, preaching the word to none but the Jews only. Like I said, Paul's already converted at this point. He's up in his hometown by now, Tarsus. And the news, the gospel, begins to spread. I want to introduce this by saying that Antioch becomes, when it reaches, the gospel reaches there, it becomes a mission church. It becomes a church on mission, in other words. They are concerned about the gospel, they are excited about the gospel, and they're excited about getting the gospel out to other people. And what we're going to see today is three things that caused them to become a sending church, a mission-sending church. In fact, this church, as we're about to read, becomes the first place where followers of Christ are called Christians. They're called that as a derogatory term. They're being made fun of. But as you know, the things that often the world calls in hatred, God turns around and uses as a blessing. Christian is one that's like Christ, a follower of Christ. And that's, while the world used it derogatorily, it became a blessing. Antioch is also the first church that really sends people out on a mission trip to evangelize the unreached. You say, well, what's so important about that? How does that relate to Galatians? What we're going to find this morning is that God uses this church and the Holy Spirit moves in this church to call and then to send out his man to take the gospel to the Galatians and eventually through much of the then known world. Paul, at this time, called Saul in the book of Acts. So if you will, look with me again. The gospel reaches Antioch. Verse 20. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. Now you say, what's all that about? Well, what he's saying is that the word was spreading, and the word was spreading because there was a persecution taking place back in Jerusalem. The believers back in Jerusalem had gathered together, but they were being rejected by their own countrymen. And they were starting to feel the effects of that. The stoning of Stephen had occurred. You remember that? And there were other acts of persecution. Herod was trying to stamp out this new movement of people following the Lord Jesus Christ. They were trying to stamp out the message. And so because of that, the believers were beginning to scatter, but they were scattering because of persecution. Some of them drift up to Antioch, and they begin to share with others that are around them, but they primarily share with Jews until there's a group of men that come who are believing. Some of them are Jews, but some of them have converted at one time to Judaism, and they have come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and now they move and they come up there, and they begin to share not just with Jews, but they also take the message to the Gentiles. Now, that's a long introduction. I understand it. You still with me this morning? Can you wave your hand up in the air if you're still with me? Okay. That's a long introduction. But what I want us to see is how the Antioch church was used by God to spread the gospel and how that applies to us today. I want you to notice three things that the Antioch church was doing. And that's what the message this morning is going to be about. We'll get back to Galatians next week. But we're going to notice this morning three things that the church in Antioch was doing. First of all, they were joyfully sharing the gospel. You want to write that down? If you're trying to take notes, write down joyfully sharing. Notice again with me that some of them came and they began to speak with the Hellenists. That's the Greeks. That's non-Jewish people. They were preaching the Lord Jesus to them. Now, they're not the first ones who are Gentiles that convert, but that's where it really starts to take root. Here's what they were doing. It doesn't give their names. It just says there's certain men that came up, and they begin to share with others the Lord Jesus Christ. They begin to share with others that are right around them, okay? Their friends and their neighbors. They begin to tell them about Jesus, and they're doing so joyfully. And when they do so, what does the Lord do? Notice verse 21. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number, what? Believed and turned to the Lord. So here's what's happening. The early church there in Antioch, they're joyfully sharing the gospel to the people right around them. And what is God doing? He's blessing it. As they share with their friends and neighbors about the Lord Jesus Christ, and give them the good news of the gospel, which we read earlier this morning, that the Lord Jesus died for our sins to deliver us from this present evil world by the will of God and His Father, and it's all for His praise and glory. He died for our sins. He rose again. Amen? That's what we've been talking about. So they begin to share that with those that are right around them, and it's joyfully received. Why is it joyfully received? Well, the Lord begins to work. One of the things I want you to know, especially in this day and age, when we share the gospel, you can sometimes get discouraged and say, well, why isn't somebody that I shared with or this person that I'm trying to reach out to, why haven't they come to faith in Christ yet? What you see here in the Antioch church is they're just faithful to share. And God is the one who adds. It's our job just to share what the Lord has done for us. It's the Lord's job to make a difference, to bring a person to faith in Christ. Only He can do that. You can't convince a person. All you can do is share the good news of the gospel, right? But once you've shared it, once that seed is sown, some of it scattered out, some never grows, some waits a long time before it bears fruit, but some, it springs up and it begins to bear fruit. And so, that's all God's job. That's what the Lord does. That's what it says here. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. That's God's job in redemption. In fact, the whole thing is what God has done. That's what Paul said back in Galatians. He says, listen, I was called to be an apostle not because of some man thought this would be a good idea. I was called to be an apostle, one who evangelizes and shares and brings the good news to others because I was called by God. It wasn't man's hand that did this. It was God's hand. Now listen, who saved you? Somebody brought you the good news, right? Did they save you? They just shared the good news of the gospel. Who saved you? Jesus saved you. He moved in your heart. He by the Holy Spirit, He convicted you of sin, and He brought you to a place of saying, I need a Savior, right? This is basic. This is Christianity 101, right? We're dealing with the basics this morning. But they shared, God blessed, and then He raised up others to join them in the work. Look at verse 22. Then the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. So here's what's happening. The news begins to filter back down south. Hey, listen, there's a whole bunch of people that are getting saved up north. Them Yankees up there. Somebody went up to New York and people started trusting the Lord, and the news comes filtering back down south. And so what they say is, well, we better investigate this, because they're hearing that there are a bunch of Gentiles that are getting saved too. And they say, we need to figure out what's going on up there. So they send Barnabas, a man who's called a man of encouragement, up north to Antioch to figure out what's going on. Verse 23, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad. The grace of God, that God's unmerited favor, God's blessing was upon the spread of the gospel. He was excited. He was glad. And here's what he did. He told them, first of all, y'all keep on. What you're doing is right on. He encouraged them that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. Keep following the Lord, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. What were they doing? They were joyfully sharing the gospel, and God was blessing. And then as God blessed, he brought others to join them in that work. He brought Barnabas, but then Barnabas says, hey, wait a second. Now, we're not going to get into all the history this morning, but Saul, after getting converted on the road to Damascus, they tried to kill him. When those that once were his friends found out that he was now preaching the good news, they tried to kill him. And he had gone to Jerusalem. The people there were afraid of him. Barnabas was one that came alongside and said, hey, no, this guy really believes. He's really changed. His heart's different. He once was somebody that we didn't want to be around because we were afraid of. If we were going to be around him, he was going to arrest us. Now he's spreading the good news of the gospel, and he brought them in. But when they found out they were trying to kill him, they said, hey, Saul, you've got to get out of here. Lord's got something for you, but you got to get out of here. And he went back to his homeland in Tarsus. And for a long time in the scripture, he's kind of just silent. You don't know what's going on. But here's Barnabas, and he figures out Tarsus is, by the way, kind of right around the hook of the Mediterranean Sea from Antioch. And he says, hey, wait a second. I'm paraphrasing here. He's like, I know another guy that could really help here. These believers here, both Jews and Gentiles, they could really use some encouragement. I know somebody that's got a powerful testimony about what God's done in their life. So what he does is he goes over to Tarsus, and he says, he finds Saul, verse 25, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. They were sharing, and God was adding, and then he was bringing people together to start something that he wanted to do. There's a seed that's planted here. And the power is this, that they were saying, we're just going to share the gospel. Now, secondly, not only were they sharing, but the Lord moved in them to generously give towards the needs of fellow believers. Look in verse 27. These days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. These are preachers. Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. A lot of history here. All right. Look at verse 29. Then the disciples, which each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. You say, well, why is that important? Well, it's important to note this, that the joy of the gospel could not be contained just in this little group of Christians. The joy of the gospel, when they had received the gospel, they get news that, hey, there's some believers down south that are going through a really hard time. And what they say is, you know what? The Lord's blessed us with a little bit of peace up here. They're down in a bunch of persecution down there. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to give towards their need. We're going to collect. And so they sacrificially gathered up money, and they said, we're going to send down there. They were generous in heart. The gospel had transformed their heart so that they weren't just saving up for themselves. They were looking out from just their own little group, and they're saying, hey, there's a need over there. Maybe we can help out with that. Now, what did God do through that? I want to suggest to you one thing that God did by their generously giving of themselves. He began to broaden their heart. He began to give them a burden for other people's. He began to enlarge their perspective that life, and even Christian life, was not just about their own little group. The Christian life was about getting the gospel out to as many people as possible. Are you still with me this morning? Are you listening? And so, and they began to get a burden for other people, and they began to say, we want to, as a church, we want to move to generously give to help meet needs over there. Okay? God's broadening their heart. And in doing so, he's getting ready to do something incredible in their midst. I want you to stop and think about it for a moment. What would it be like to have the honor? That's what it is. The honor of being the first place where people were called Christians. You say, oh, I don't know that, mate. I think that's pretty honorable, don't you? I think that's pretty incredible. By the way, this is an aside. That place right now is under an intense persecution. The believers in Syria are under intense persecution. Just something to think about. But what would it be like to not only have that honor, but also to be known as the first missionary sending church? What kind of honor would that be? Well, I want to suggest to you this morning that one of the things that God calls us to do as a church is to be known to the world as Christians, as people that follow the Lord Jesus Christ and want to represent him to others. And then second of all, to be known as a church that is a sending church, that is concerned about getting the gospel out to other people. That's part of what is making up this little group, right? Are you with me this morning? I know I'm giving you a lot of history. But this is really foundational to understanding what's going on in the book of Galatians. They were joyfully sharing, then they were generously giving. Finally, the third thing, they were earnestly praying for God's will. Look in verse in chapter 13. Here's where we're going to finish this morning. Flip over a couple of pages and to Acts chapter 13. End of Acts chapter 12, Barnabas and Saul come back from Jerusalem. They bring John Mark with them. Verse 1 of chapter 13. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. You know him as Paul. In other words, what God had done, by their generosity, God had raised up other people to begin to preach and to teach. And so he's got this church in just the right place where he wants them, okay? It says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. What it's talking about is just week by week, day by day, day in and day out, they're going about their business, but as they're doing so, they're serving the Lord. They're serving the Lord by sharing the gospel with others, and they're serving the Lord by trying to meet the needs of others, by loving other people. And as they're doing that, they're also earnestly seeking the Lord. It says that they were fasting. Now, anytime you see fasting in Scripture, closely associated with it is what? Prayer. Thank you. In other words, it wasn't just that we're skipping a meal for the fun of it. No, we're skipping a meal to earnestly seek God's will. We want to know what God wants us to do, is what they're doing. They say, we want to be involved with what God's got for us. And so they are fasting to earnestly seek God's will. It doesn't mean that they were necessarily doing a whole week fast, although some of them might have, or even a whole day fast. It could mean that they were fasting specific meals or at specific times throughout the week. But whatever they did, however they did it, they were seeking God's will. What did God do as a result? It says, while they were doing that, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them, sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, were they sent out by the church? Yes. But really, they were sent out by the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit was operating within his church. Their mandate didn't come from the church. Their mandate came from the Lord. But he said, I see a church down here that wants to get involved with what I'm doing. And so I'm going to let them become part of sending out the first missionaries to unreached people. Barnabas and Saul. And it's in this first mission trip that Barnabas and Saul end up going to the churches of Galatia and founding in those cities, they found those churches. And that's the foundation for the book of Galatians. You say, well, that's all neat, Brother Nathan, but how do we apply it? All right, open your bulletin. I want to put a map up here. I want the girls to put a map up here on the screen. You see those pinpoints? That's not the tornado that went through. Those pinpoints represent, and we actually have even more, but they, some of you aren't, our addresses aren't on there, but those represent addresses of people in this congregation. Okay? I want you to think about this. If the Antioch church, we said this morning, what were they doing? They were first of all joyfully sharing the gospel. Who were they sharing it with? The people right around them. That's where it started, right? Second of all, they were generously giving to the needs. They were loving the people that were around them. They're also loving the people that were in other places. And then third, they were prayerfully seeking God's will. I want you to look at that map. You probably recognize where some of you are. You see all those little pinpoints. I want you to think about this. What if every one of those representing somebody that's in this church began to pray earnestly for the people right around them? And began to joyfully share with the people right around them. So I know you're already doing this, but sometimes we're not real intentional about it, right? What you see in the Antioch church is that they were intentional about it. They were earnestly seeking the Lord's will. What if we began to say, I'm going to start right at home. I'm going to start with my neighbors, right? I'm going to start with the people that are right around me. What this is, in your bulletin, we've given you four lines there, just to kind of limit it. You can add more, that's fine. What I would like you to do is take this out, take it home, put it on your refrigerator or on your bathroom mirror. And I want you to write down the names of your four closest neighbors. Now, you may look north and south and east and west. Some of you, I know, you look north and there might be a great big field out there, or south. You know, just figure out, who are my four closest neighbors? What four residences are closest to me? Now, I know some of you are doing this right now, because I've done this. That's why I'm saying I know some of you are doing this. You might think, oh, there's that close neighbor over there. Maybe there's another neighbor that's not quite as close, but I can pray for them instead. Maybe there's a close neighbor that you've gotten into a spat with at some point or another. Maybe it's over a fence, or I don't know. You know what I'm talking about? Being neighbors, sometimes you rub shoulders, and you want to be neighborly, but sometimes you rub shoulders the wrong way, right? You're just helping them get better, right? So you might be tempted to say, I think I'll find another neighbor to pray for. Don't do that. Put their name down. Maybe it's somebody that's done something to you, and you think, I want you to remember something. Who was Saul before the Lord got a hold of him? He was somebody that was trying to kill Christians. And who was Barnabas? He was somebody that, he said, God's got a purpose. It was after Saul came to know the Lord, yes, but he said, everybody else doesn't want to have anything to do with this guy, but he says he knows the Lord. I'm going to reach out to him. I'm going to get to know him, and I'm going to bring him along with me, right? So here's the challenge this morning. We're calling this the Antioch Initiative. What were they doing? They were joyfully sharing their faith. They were generously giving to the needs that they saw arise, and they were prayerfully seeking the Lord. Let's take prayerfully seeking, and let's write down the names of our four closest neighbors. Let's put it up, and let's say, Lord, I want to prayerfully seek you about my four neighbors. Some of them are going to be believers. That's great. At some point over the next couple of weeks, drop by. Say, how's it going? Can I encourage you? Can I pray for you? Listen, you know, we're wanting to pray for our neighbors. Can I pray for you about something in specific? Can I encourage you in some way? You may not use those words, but just stop by and say, hey, is there something I could pray for you about? Right? Some of them aren't believers. What do you do there? Just stop by, maybe take them a plate of cookies. Men, ask your wives to cook them, or go pick some up from Walmart. Okay, I know this was a history lesson, all right? But can you give me a little bit of a chuckle here? Okay, thank you. Boy. take them something and say, hey, neighbor, I just wanted you to know I'm praying for you. Is there anything I can pray for you about specifically? And then just start there and see where the Lord leads, okay? You look at that map, what could God do with Trinity Baptist Church? If we would say, Lord, we want to start at home and be faithful to pray for those that you've placed around us, that God would work in their life, that they would know you as Savior if they don't, and that if they do, they would be encouraged to walk with you. How can you use me? Take those four closest neighbors, write them down, and say, all right, I'm going to put it someplace where I'll see it every day and be reminded to pray for them. Can we do that? That's the invitation this morning, by the way. If you would stand with me. That's the invitation to those of you who are believers in Christ, who are members of this church, is to take that home and to say, here's something practical. I can be like the believers in Antioch. I can practically do something right now to pray for those around me. God's brought somebody to your mind, I know. Right?